Good morning. Has anybody dried out since last night? I don't think I have. I have a couple of announcements this morning. One is that our exercise class will be held on Monday only this week. The Wednesday class is going to be canceled. I'd also like to draw your attention to some of the announcements in your bulletin. There's information about poinsettias, which can be purchased around the Christmas season, offering envelopes that you should probably take a look at, gingerbread house baking for the cafe, and Teen Challenge and Women Fellowship all have announcements in there for you to see. Are there any more announcements that need to come to our attention this morning? I don't see any, so I would invite you to stand and join with me in the call to worship. You, O Lord, have given us all we need. We thank you for meeting us here in this place as we are. Lead us, Lord, in your ways and call us according to your purposes. Gather us to sing your praises. Please join us in hymn 17. We gather together.
right. If there's anybody else in here that would enjoy a children's story, I invite you to come on up. Good morning, guys. I brought some fun things with me today. I can't take credit for all of them. This one's from Pastor Matt.
An umbrella.
We're just showing it off here. What does an umbrella have to do with the weather outside? When do we carry an umbrella?
So your hair can't get wet.
Yep, so your hair doesn't get wet.
What she means is when it's raining.
Yep, when it's raining. Did anybody see the rain last night?
Yeah.
It was so much rain. So Pastor Matt said that we need to carry our umbrella so that we have faith that God will make it rain when we pray for rain. But I decided after yesterday that I don't want it to rain anymore. I'd rather have it sunny. So I brought some hats and some sunglasses and even the sunshade from the car. I want to make sure it's nice and sunny.
Is that how you get tan?
Something like that. You can use something like that to get tan. So the way this fits into our scripture today is a talk about faith. Did you know that if you doubt God, it can limit his power to do good works? Our scripture today is about Jesus being in his hometown. And he was teaching in his hometown with all of the people that he knew from when he was growing up. So could you believe teaching to your teacher? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? And the people that Jesus knew growing up started to say, who does he think he is? Isn't this the little kid that we saw growing up at Mary's house? Aren't his sisters and brothers, James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, they live down the street. How does that mean that he can do miracles? And they doubted Jesus' ability to do miracles. So the Bible tells us that because of their lack of faith, Jesus couldn't really do anything in his hometown except heal a couple of people. And we know for Jesus, that's not a big thing. That's like going to dinner at grandma's house for Jesus. So Jesus said, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. So we need to really believe that God can make it rain sometimes or sunny sometimes. And we need to believe enough that we're able to carry our umbrella or our sunglasses around with us. We need to have that much faith. Is that something you think you guys can do? That's a lot of faith. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we say we believe, but sometimes our actions don't show it. Please help us to show all of our faith by our actions, even if it means carrying around some sunglasses. Amen.
A little warmth wouldn't be that bad of an idea at all. That was quite the rainstorm last night, and we would be glad for sunshine as we're seeing it through our windows here. We do just want to invite you into prayer for peace and for comfort for several families mourning the loss of loved ones this week. On Wednesday, we'll have services here with visitation at 10 a.m. and services at 11 a.m. for Lois Bone. And so we keep that family in prayer. And then Thursday, we'll have services for Ruth Conover at 11. There's no visitation, a luncheon to follow. And the burial will be at a later date. So two funerals that you could support those families throughout this week with your prayers, and if you're able to come to those services to support the families as well. And then keep Ryan Snyder in prayer. He'll be getting married on Saturday to Kristen. So we're so excited for the week ahead of us, knowing where our loved ones have gone before us and knowing God uniting two people as one. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to highlight? Just an update on my dad while I'm looking at the prayer concerns before me. He is now in rehab. He went fighting tooth and nail, but he is there and will not put any weight on his leg. So prayers that he would be willing to take the risk and put some weight on his leg so that the healing can begin. They did get the fluid off of his knee, and there's no MRSA at this point. So continued prayers as dad rehabs. His name's Bob.
On Monday, my papa had surgery, and right now he is at my grandma's house healing up. He is unable to walk without a walker, and we are just praying that he can get on his feet again without the walker and get back to riding horses and have a good life.
Amen. Thank you, Julia.
Many of you have been praying for Jonathan Weaver. He's getting along quite fine. He gets into his wheelchair. He'll eventually get artificial feet, then he'll learn to walk again. And maybe he can soon go home from Salt Lake City to his home in Idaho, and then he can take some of his therapy there. So we praise the Lord for this, and I want you all to say thank you to every one of you that prayed for him. God bless you.
Amen. God is good. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that we can be in your presence every second of every day. We thank you that we can come before you with joys and concerns upon our hearts. And Lord, we just lift up those that are mourning this day, Father, the Bone family, and we lift up Gail Malsbury and Jim and family and friends of Ruth, and just continue to pray your peace, continue to pray your comfort. Lord, the recognition that they're in your presence now is just overwhelming, knowing that one day we too shall be there. And we just thank you for that knowledge, that salvation that we have. And so as we walk through this life, we're mindful of that, and we trust you, Lord. We obey you, Lord, and we do the things that you would have us do, that we would be pleasing to you, Lord. And we just thank you that we can all shine lights, and we can all do good, and we all can relate to one another and encourage and support one another. So thank you, Father, for brothers and sisters here in this place and throughout our community that we can reach out to and just show love, and we support them and let them know that we're praying for them. And just thank you, Lord, for that ability to do so. And we just lift up those that are going through the healing process, that are recovering right now, that are learning to walk again, those that are in wheelchairs, that are just on crutches, whatever it may be, Lord, we place those individuals into your arms and just ask for your strength. We ask for your support for those individuals, that one day, Father, very soon, that they would be able to just walk again on their own, Lord, and be able to be free from that wheelchair, free from those crutches, and free from whatever it may be that's hindering them from fully walking. And we just praise you, Lord, for your healing touch. We've seen it in so many different circumstances, and we just thank you, Father, for allowing your will to unfold in the lives of each person that's gathered here today. You know what we're facing today. You know what this week has had in store. You know what the week ahead of us has in store. And we're just trusting you, Lord, for your plan is perfect. And we just thank you, Father, for forgiveness. We look ahead to the Advent season, and we know that a Savior has been born to us. And we are so thankful for your Son, Jesus, and the life that he led that gives us an example, a shining example of how to live and to forgive and to love and to just continually look to the cross and to the empty tomb and be reminded of just how powerful your life and your ministry here among us has been. So thank you this season being born that we might be free, Lord. And we just thank you again for meeting us as we are here in this place. We do gather together, and we ask for those times we've sinned this week, Lord. We pause and ask for forgiveness. We know, Lord, forgiveness is at hand, but we must confess. So we confess during these next few moments of silent prayer and also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Lord, we just thank you each day, each moment of each day, for your grace, for your mercy, for your forgiveness, for your love, for your compassion, for the joy that you bring into our lives. Even when we're having the worst day, Lord, we can still have joy because we know you and you are always good. So thank you, Father, for always being good. And thank you, Father, for being here in this place with us as we continue to worship you and lift up your holy name, Lord. We pray that we would proclaim that on the street corners, that your name would be made known, and that through the way we live, the way we talk, Lord, the way we treat one another, people would want to know the difference in our lives, why we act and speak the way we do, then we can give them the answer. It's because of you, Jesus. So thank you for guiding our lives, giving us an example to live by, and we just pray for each person here, those that haven't been able to be with us, Lord. We just pray your peace, your comfort upon them, and just think of our shut-ins this morning and just bless them this morning, and those that can't make it, Lord, bless them. But those here today, may they just have a blessed time of worship and a blessed time of hearing your word. And we just thank you for each one. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we come to our time of offering, I'd like you to think back a couple days to Thanksgiving. Maybe your stomach gets a little hungry and your mouth starts to drool a little bit when you think about the turkey and the cranberry sauce, but I want to take you back in that moment and ask if anybody went around the table and said what you were thankful for. A lot of times on Thanksgiving, we pray for the good stuff. We pray for health and wealth and homes, that we're thankful that we have what we have. We're thankful for the turkey and the cranberry sauce and the stuffing. We're thankful for all of our family that came together around us, and sometimes we're thankful that our crazy uncle went to the other side of the family this holiday. But as we reach our time of offering this morning, I'd like to put out a challenge for you. I'd like you to try and be the reason that somebody else says thank you. To be the reason that someone else has food on the table, a roof over their head, and all of the blessings that they receive from us, from God and the church. I'd like you to be that ministry that goes out and gives people reasons to be thankful. Will you pray with me? Father, as we lay before you our financial offerings, we give you all that we are and everything that you have entrusted to us. May you multiply it for your uses. Come bless these gifts for the sake of your kingdom and your glory. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture this morning comes from Mark 6. It's verses 1 to 6. You can feel free to find it in your pew Bibles or follow along with it up here on the screen. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that he has been given? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village.
Would you pray with me? Father, I ask in the name of your Son Jesus, you would open your word to us, you would allow it to fall exactly where you want it to fall this day, and we give you glory and honor for the difference your word makes in our lives, and it's in Jesus' name, amen. Often, those who think they know us the best believe in us the least. That's what's happening to Jesus in our scripture today. His own neighbors, hometown friends, can only think of him as Mary's son, Joey's boy, the carpenter, a brother to James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And they went on in verse 3 to say, "Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. What's totally amazing is that this is actually Jesus' second ministry trip to Nazareth. You may remember in Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30, it records his first visit some year or two before. And it had much of the same results. Immediately after Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, he began his ministry, preaching and healing in Capernaum, Luke 4:23, and a few other Galilean synagogues and towns. In the Nazareth synagogue, he read Isaiah 61, 1-2, and said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." They were amazed, but listened to what they asked. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Sounds familiar. Jesus even said they wanted him to do what he did at Capernaum, but reminded them, "No prophet is accepted in his hometown." Then he told how Elijah had only healed at Zarephath, and Elisha only healed Naaman the Syrian. And here again is their response recorded in Luke 4:28 and 29. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But then Jesus does this. He walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Friends, this was the first reception of the Son of God, where he should have been a hometown hero. They could have had Jesus. Instead, he passes through the crowds where they could have found healing. They could have found freedom. They should have known he was Jesus, the Messiah, the famous one, great in all the earth. So here we are this morning in Mark chapter 6, and opportunity knocks again for Nazareth. Now remember your church history. This was a city highly favored by God. Matthew said in chapter 2, verse 23, that it had been long prophesied that the Messiah would someday live in Nazareth. The angel Gabriel, God's special messenger, who had appeared to the prophet Daniel, was sent to Nazareth to speak to Mary about being the mother of Christ. The angels even knew the significance of this town. Nazareth has been blessed to have the Messiah himself live and work among them for nearly 26 years. So this title of the Messiah
has become somewhat superglued to Nazareth. Talk about a great honor for a tiny town, and we thought Diefenbach chips was pretty cool. Jesus of Nazareth is listed 13 times, even though he's not even born there. We recall the opening chapter of Mark, and even the demons recognize the town of Nazareth as a place Jesus lived. How could the darkness know this, but not the town? This is where Jesus begins his ministry, so really, they're without excuse. They would have had more exposure than any other city in Palestine. We would have at least thought, in the very least, they were his greatest supporters. But then again, we're all too familiar with being too well known. Often those who think they know us the best believe in us the least. We see firsthand what happens to Jesus when he goes back to his hometown. In essence, this acquaintance breeds contempt, as shown by the Nazarenes. We could be convinced people aren't opposed to hometown heroes, yet the more we know, the less likely we see their potential. I won't mention names, but while I was in school, I was the guy that other guys copied their homework from. Now think about this. There were 5 of them, and 4 of them are now hometown cops. I'm guilty of this. And how often do we hear so-and-so started their own business? So-and-so started climbing the corporate ladder, and because we thought we knew them so well, we couldn't really believe their success. We're too surprised, we're even suspicious, or could it be we're a bit jealous? But friends, the advice here is if we're not careful, we could miss the bigger picture with such a limited vision. You see, God in any given person here in this place can have a power that would defy logic. People that we have may have considered hopeless have been changed. They've been saved. They've been delivered and have now become completely transformed. And it's often us who have to accept they're not who they were. But friends, we know there's no denying the power of God. We can't limit what God can do. But that is what Nazareth has done. Not once, but twice, they missed their opportunity. They could have had Jesus. But even Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home." Does anyone remember that vegetable juice commercial where someone would drink a soda or eat a snack and then realize they missed out on something better? The commercial would end with someone smacking their forehead and they say, "Wow, I could have had a V8. Friends, Nazareth could have had Jesus. In this moment, in the history of Little Swatara, we don't want to miss out on what God has in store for us. When we can have Jesus, why would we settle for less? When we can have God's peace, God's direction, God's blessings, why would we settle for less? This was the second chance for Nazareth. And friends, he gives us so many more. We have opportunity after opportunity to believe in his power to do far greater things than we could ever imagine. So let's not minimize these previous chapters of Mark where it records Jesus' greatest miracles throughout this region. Remember Mark 5 in verses 1 to 20, healing the man possessed by a legion of demons. And in Mark 5, 21 to 43, raising Jairus' 12-year-old daughter from the dead. And right before that, ceasing the issue of blood with a woman struggling for 12 years. And there's so many more healing stories. But the question for us this morning is, what is Jesus about to do in your life? We can't know unless we have faith. We can't know unless we believe. Remember our passage, verses 5 and 6. The state of unbelief prevented Jesus from miracles. Remember it read, he, Jesus, could do no deed of power there, which is Nazareth, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Again, Mark 6, verses 5 and 6. The word no there, it said Jesus could do no deed of power. That word no is fully translated from the Greek word eudaimon, meaning not even one. We could ask why, and many Greek scholars are convinced the people of Nazareth were so consistently unbelieving that they would not even bring their sick to Jesus to be healed. Even the few sick people that were cured were not sick from disease. The word translated sick used in this text is the Greek word arostois, which is a sickness regarded as constitutional weakness. In other words, feeble or sickly. Think about that. Not a sickness from disease. The people of Nazareth accepted what the world had to offer when they could have had Jesus. So the question we might ask ourselves this morning is, are we in any way like Nazareth? They rejected him. They didn't believe in his power. Or would the question for us this morning be, do we believe there is anything God can't do? Jesus said in Matthew 18, 20, for where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Friends, it's important for us to grab hold of this. God's spiritual kingdom is here in this place. We ask the question, are we responding to him with faith? Are we expecting the miraculous? Are we believing Jesus is who he says he is? Friends, are we bringing our needs to the Lord? Are we expecting his healing? Are we claiming his peace? Or are we limiting God? Consider this story. It was the year 2003. A well-known minister and his wife were in New York. They checked out of their hotel, went to the airport to catch a flight to Dallas. Once at the airport, it was shut down due to a power grid failure across the eastern seaboard. The minister finally got another hotel room, but it had no power. There was no food, no hot water, just candles, hot air, and a sweaty bed. He looked out his window, and on the other side of the block, there was a hotel completely lit up. He could hear music, he could hear laughter, and he was certain that there was food and drink, yet all the rest of the city was dark. The minister walked over and asked the manager at the desk, how can the rest of the city be dark and yet you're lit up like a Christmas tree? The manager said, it's rather simple. When we built this hotel, we built it with a very large gas generator in the basement. Friends, we have the power on the inside. That's not determined by what's happening on the outside. Even if it seems there's nothing happening out there, there's plenty happening in here. You see, friends, when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, he came on the inside. So what's happening on the outside shouldn't determine whether or not you've got a lighthouse on the inside. What's happening outside should not determine our joy. Friends, God has given us a power within our soul through this relationship we have with Christ. No longer in his name do we have to live by what's going on around us. Jesus was in the midst of Nazareth, yet they rejected him. Friends, Jesus right now is in our midst. And the question is, are you reaching out to him? You've probably heard the saying YOLO. YOLO means you only live once. But let's up the ante on YOLO and include it to say yield, open, listen, and obey. Yield, open, listen, and obey. Brothers, on this day, let's unite to be a people of expectation. Let's allow Jesus to touch us, to heal us of all those things that hinder us. And as Philippians 4:13 states, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And friends, so can you. You see, it boils down to how we picture Jesus. Consciously or not, we've all formulated this mental image of what Jesus looks like, which even now you have in your mind. When we pray, when we talk about him, when we read the scripture, it's through that image that you interpret what you hear, what you read, and what you experience. For example, if my image of Jesus is a gentle shepherd, always protecting the sheep, that whenever I face difficulty or struggle, I'll naturally assume something is wrong. I've wandered away from the flock, and I'll look and expect Jesus to come and rescue me from the struggle. Now, if you picture Jesus as a wise teacher, we'll come to him asking questions. We'll always get a patient, thoughtful response, which leaves us with something deeper to ponder as we walk away. But we might ignore when Jesus seems frustrated by his disciples' lack of understanding simple truths. We might even downplay the harshness of some of Jesus' comments to the religious leaders of his day. But then, like me, for many years, the way that I would see Jesus is as my BFF, my best friend. Arms always open to hold us. Arms always open to comfort us and tell us everything is going to be okay. But the day comes when you need to be disciplined. The day comes when you're told to do otherwise. But then there's also this image of Jesus as the Almighty King. He's strong and he's powerful, which we'll keep at a distance, trying to do what we're supposed to do so we don't attract too much attention. So what are we trying to say in response to our passage? Author Michael Frost says it best. How distressing to us that Jesus could be the Messiah, the human incarnation of God, second person of the Trinity for 30 years, and no one at home notices. No one in Nazareth smiles knowingly and says, I always suspected there was something strange about that kid. Instead, they wonder where he got all this messianic stuff. Somehow, Jesus could be fully God and blend in to Galilean society. Hardly the most pious or sophisticated culture without creating a ripple, end quote. We might even title this message, Amazed, Offended, and Bypassed. This story in Mark, we remember, began with his homecoming, his going to the synagogue to teach. Same pattern as other places, initially the same result. Many who heard him were amazed. It's a good start, don't you think? Initially it goes well, the message is delivered, and the people respond. The same great things that happened elsewhere, which demonstrates that the kingdom of God had arrived in Jesus, were about to happen in Nazareth as well. But then we remember the problem. This new image of Jesus does not fit, despite how amazing it was. It simply wasn't congruent. The messenger wasn't the person they expected. So what happens? They start to scoff. They look and they see Jesus, the guy they had always known, the guy who built their table in their house, the guy whose sister married their brother, and they can't accept this new Jesus as the real Jesus. You may remember they even asked, where did he get all this wisdom and the power to perform such miracles? This old image of Jesus, this normal guy, simply didn't line up with the Jesus that was now sitting in the temple. So as the people wrestled with this, we remember they actually got upset. The scripture said they were deeply offended and they refused to believe in him. So here's our application. When we're presented with a Jesus who doesn't fit our image, it's imperative to dig deeper to know the Jesus before you. Let's start with what we do extremely well and broaden on it. Pray to Jesus, the healer. Pray to Jesus who suffers on the cross, who weeps at Lazarus' tomb and laughs at the party of the sinner's house. But then, friends, broaden it even more and pray to God the Father, God the Creator, God the Judge. Let's pray to God the Lord of heaven's armies and pray to the Holy Spirit who brings power, to the Holy Spirit who brings conviction. And let's keep praying to the Holy Spirit who shapes us, sometimes even cutting off large branches that are hindering us, sometimes using 60 grit sandpaper, sometimes by gently forming wet clay. Today, friends, we pray that the Lord creates in each of us a new beginning, a newness to love and to serve all those in our midst. Amen and amen.
May we leave this place in peace, finding comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ, who then encourages us to send that peace and comfort unto others. May we do it in the name of Jesus our Lord. Let us all be blessed, and let us all remember to be thankful. Amen.